John, if you can give us an overview of what you do with the Prairie Rond Artist Residency, what that residency is about, and then I guess we're leading into how that's changed with the COVID-19 pandemic.
Well, the changes have been really profound, as you can imagine. Our model prior to all of this going on is to host artists here in Vicksburg, to provide them with a charming little bungalow. I'm a little biased, but it's quite charming. And to have artists stay here from anywhere from 4 weeks to 7 weeks, and to really have an immersive experience with the local community. So with the onset of the coronavirus, all of that has changed. We were forced to postpone our spring session, and we have suspended our application process for the summer session. Our two spring artists, a woman named Erica Ferrari from Sao Paulo, Brazil, basically a few weeks before she arrived, went through the process of having her home country shut down. So we, in a way, feel fortunate in that we were able to dodge that bullet. It would be logistically difficult to have someone here and get them back home, especially in terms of international travel. So Erica has decided and has worked with us, and we've decided together that we're going to look at rescheduling her for September. And our other artist, a woman named Pamela Hadley, who is living in Chicago, has also, you know, we're in a circumstance where we don't want to have people traveling across state lines, coming from densely populated urban centers and coming into Kalamazoo County and running the risk of contracting or being a possible vector for disease. So we had to put Pamela on hold as well.
And we've had Pamela on Artbeat, so we'll have to do a rerun of that broadcast. In fact, if and when she does come to you, we talked about her digital photography with light that was fascinating.
We're thrilled to have her, and we are fully expecting to be in contact with her again when things calm down even a little bit more.
Wonderful.
And we will look at having her, I'm just pulling a date out of the air, hopefully as early as August, middle August.
Yeah, I guess we're going day by day with that, aren't we, to see how things go.
It's very difficult to know because of what I just described in relation to Erica's experience, and Pamela's as well. You have to be, when you've got a kind of a public-facing organization, you have to be nervous about exactly the kinds of situations that you're putting your partners in. And we look at our partners as our artists and our broader community that we're serving. So, you know, we just have to be really, really cautious.
So with all of this pandemic going on, John, you've decided to help artists, help yourselves by capturing digital content from your artists. Tell us how you're doing that, how and where and what is being recorded.
This is in reaction to the understanding, we're a member of professional organizations, and the news that's been coming out of the arts community has not been good. And, you know, there are a lot of people who are at risk nationally and internationally, and nationally our arts community is really kind of suffering. Things have dried up a lot. And so we have explored what other organizations have been doing, and we have devised a way, a sort of a hybrid. Many organizations are live streaming. Many artists are taking it on themselves to live stream events individually with links through maybe some sort of payment service like Venmo or Cash, you know, those that style of app.
Yeah.
So we started to look at how we could do these things, but to have a little bit more control over the content and to maximize the content so that we can offer audience members more opportunities for touch points with the artist.
Yeah.
And so what we've devised, and we're kind of in a beta version of it right now, I guess you could say, because our budget is a little bit, we have to be careful as well.
Like so, everybody,
we have given ourselves permission, I guess, internally to reach out to a small number of visual artists and a small number of musicians who we have worked with in the past or have some sort of relationship with. And we have invited them to participate in a way in which we are paying them for 30 minutes of content. And so for the visual artists, what that means is that we have concepting meetings and pre-production kind of digital get-togethers where we look at how they might be able to create 4 or 5 or maybe 6 short videos that might be anything ranging from a studio tour to a discussion of how they might manipulate some sort of media or a sort of a how-to video for specific techniques that they work in. And so we've gotten a lot of nice reaction, a lot of nice positive response from our former artists, our participants and partners. And then from a music standpoint, from my line of thinking, it is a little bit easier to get my head wrapped around. We are partnering with musicians to record a 30-minute session. And that could be the challenge from the artist standpoint is that for all intents and purposes, they're performing to nobody. And that is very awkward, is what we're hearing. It's difficult to play a set of music.
I think we're just starting to understand how important the audience is. You know, to play to empty space, everybody working out of their homes and not getting that instant response. I wonder if our artists realized how important that is.
You know, that's such a good question. And I think that the struggles, a few of the struggles that we're going through as a broader community indicate really that the gregarious nature of the human, if you will. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Even the people in my life who have professed in the past that they are not people, if that's
right,
if that's
right,
a term,
right.
have said out loud, you know, I really miss interaction with humans. You know, when you are in a situation where you're creating music or art, you're doing it for an audience. And when you're not able to get that audience interaction, I think it gets really complicated really quickly.
Yeah, you don't know if it's resonating or not, I suppose. You just kind of have to do it in faith.
In faith, faith is a big piece of it. And so, you know, it's not an ideal platform that we are working under, but it's the one that we have. And so everybody's just resolved to do the best that they can. And we recognize that there will be hiccups and that there will be warts. And we are relying on the generosity of the viewing audience to just go, oh, well, I guess that happened. And to move on and to celebrate the fact that the efforts are being made and we're still able to bring a version of culture and beauty into lives.
You're paying these artists for 30 minutes of content. How is this, how are you making your funds? Is that through donations, grants? How do you survive?
Prairie Ronde Artist Residency is affiliated with a small organization called Paper City Development. And we are engaged with the rehabilitation of the former Lee Paper Company paper mill down here in Vicksburg. And so our owner, Chris Moore, has always been supportive of this idea of building on the existing arts and culture infrastructure of the area. And so when we floated the idea past him of, you know, can we do this digital content thing, he was wholly supportive of it. So in a way, what it has really required is a sort of a reallocation of funds. I mean, we have to be realistic. Mm. The Prairie Ronde summer session is a non-starter at this stage of the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, a clear vision tells me that gatherings of groups of more than 10 people are probably something that's not going to really happen with a great deal of regularity for quite a while. It's really kind of dictated how it is that we're going to behave right now. And yeah. So out of caution and care for the larger community, we know that summer is really not going to happen. So those funds were available in a way. They were already budgeted. So we just kind of smeared it around in a different direction.
What are your thoughts? Will art venues change in the more longer term because of this social distancing that we've learned?
The music industry is really, really struggling to come to terms with what's going on right now. If you think of a venue of even 2,000 people and the steps that you are going to have to go through over the short term and how those cautionary steps might translate going forward, because people are only speculating, but the speculation right now is that this style of illness, this virus, is something that has gained a foothold on a global level. And so we're going to be dealing with this from the looks of things, we'll be dealing with something like this in some way, shape, or form going out into the undefined future, right?
Yeah, possibly for years. Yeah.
Correct. So what does that mean then from a music venue standpoint or a museum standpoint or a theater standpoint? Right now, the conversations within the industry are really centered around healthcare issues, health and sanitation, health, safety, and sanitation, right?
Yeah.
And so much energy is being devoted to that, that right now, I don't perceive that a lot of conversation is being had about what's that going to mean to the ticket buying public. It's very difficult right now to get your finger on the pulse of what the audience experience is going to be going out into the future. You know, I think some of the lead indicators are of what's going on right now, the resurgence of drive-in movie theaters and the growing prospect of drive-in concert venues as well, where they're setting up stages in parking lots and people are then paying to enter the parking lot to see the music performed. Those are really great alternatives over the short term, but how are you going to generate, how are you going to reestablish audience in the numbers that of people that were attending those experiences prior to this? The numbers are going to be very difficult to reconcile. So I think that we're looking at real difficult long-term changes to the industry until things are sorted out.
Do you have specific dates or places on online places for viewing some of this content that you're capturing?
Yeah, thank you for asking. The musicians who are working with us are affiliated through the Mill Music Residency, and audience members who are interested in finding this content will be able to gain access to it at our website, vicksburgmill.com, and at the Mill at Vicksburg Facebook page as well, and the Mill at Vicksburg Instagram. We are looking at having our first music content and our first visual arts content go up onto the Mill website. The music will go on the Mill website starting June 1st. That'll be our target. That's our target date for our first performance. From a visual arts standpoint, PrairieRondArtistResidency.com will be handling the visual arts component, and we're targeting June 1st for that as well.
Is the idea to have some of these performances live the first time you see them, and but then remain online as recordings?
No, we are, as I mentioned earlier, about getting the audience members increased opportunities to actually have touch points with the artist. We are recording everything and we are chunking it so that the way that we're going to schedule the music is to have regularly scheduled days of the week and regularly scheduled times of the week where we will drop individual songs from an artist. And then at the end of about 2 weeks, then we will release the entire performance. So you'll get a couple of singles, and then you'll be able to watch the entire performance a few weeks afterward.
So other than trying to help these artists get through this, how do you think arts help us all through difficult times like this, perhaps through times of isolation in our homes? What can it do for us?
I think that, you know, the fast one-word answer is diversion. And then to add more words to that, we're in a difficult situation, right, where we're looking not only to be diverted, but we're also looking for items, objects of beauty that we can kind of hang our psychic hat upon, so that we can remind ourselves that the flowers also bloom, the sun also comes up, and that, you know, that people are still following passions. We just have to change the rules for what that can look like over the short term.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that from my standpoint, as you are inundated with so many channels filled with the opportunities to read so much bad news, it's really refreshing to have positive experiences in your life and to have these moments of joy and beauty.
Well, we thank you for bringing us those moments of joy and beauty. Very much looking forward to tapping into what you're going to have online here. Thank you, John, for spending some time with us today.
Thank you. It is always such a pleasure to talk with you.